We bless you, Master. We bless you, Master. We bless you. And the rain of his glory is coming and falling. The rain of his glory. As it's raining, it's also storming. But the storm is in the area where it's the flooding of the enemy and the storms of the enemy. But God is raining while it's storming, because the rain is coming from above and the storm is from beneath. But he who keeps his eye on the Lord will be rained upon, and that rain will cover him, and that rain will protect him so that the storm will not move him. For the Lord says, I am faithful and true to complete what I've started. I've called you and chose you. And it's not you who chose me, but I chose you. And though I am faithful and I am true, I won't leave you nor put you in a circumstance that you cannot handle. For the storm will try to remove you from me, but if you'll stay in my reign, you will see that I am he who calls you and sends you. I am he who provides for you. I am he who heals you. And I am he who holds all the key. Jesus. Now lift your hands to heaven and sense the rain. We bless you, Master. And we commit to you our spirit, soul, and body as a living sacrifice. We stand in awe of who you are and what you've done. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. Continue to rain on us and fill us, Master, that we may be one with you, that we will see and not miss, that we will obey and submit, and that we will look forward and not backward, and that we will wait and not rush. For you are faithful, Master. And we ask for your forgiveness of every area of touching unclean things. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord, of rebellion and rejection and pride and arrogance and haughtiness. We ask for your forgiveness, Master, of every sin, transgression, and iniquity. And we ask that you wash our spirit, soul, and body and flesh, our blood and organs and tissues, our members and memories, our conscience and subconscience, our eyes and ears and heart, lips and tongue, with the blood of Christ and the stripes of Christ, that we may be healed, that we may be loosed from the bonds of deception and allow the anointing to have his way. We thank you, Master, for positioning us so that it is no longer we that live but you. And I pray tonight, Father, that as your word goes forth, because it's your word, and it will not return void, but revelation and impartation, wisdom, knowledge, and sight would be established so that you can be glorified through each and every vessel, and unity could be established in each and every one. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. God is good all the time, isn't he? Things are definitely happening. Let me tell you, things are happening. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 3? Hebrews 3. In verse 12. Hebrews 3:12. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Beware. Hello. Beware. In other words, look. Discern. See where you're at. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an what? evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin or fellowship with the voice of the stranger. For we have become partakers of Christ if, say if, we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to when? To the end. Well, that blows the theology of once saved, always saved, doesn't it? While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And what he's talking about here is an hardened heart. And it's very important to understand that a hardened heart will always depart from the will of God. It will depart not only from the will of God, but from the presence of God and the truth of God. What happens is it locks out truth, it locks out conviction, correction, and humility, or what we call humbleness. And what it does is expresses the DNA of carnality. So when it locks out the things of God, what it does then is it begins to express the DNA of carnality with pride, selfishness, lust, and fear to trust. This is what it does, is it causes a person then to return to its what they call vomit. By going back to the things that cause them trouble and disorder. And one of the things that happens is divine order now becomes the last thing on their mind. Divine order becomes the last thing on their mind. The only thing that it's concerned about is self. Does everybody understand that? So there's something that happens now. So we're talking about locking and unlocking. And in this, remember, a hardened heart is what he calls an evil heart, because it's associated with carnality, isn't it? And in this, an individual begins to depart from the presence of God. It begins to depart from the will of God and truth. And what happens then is the individual is what we call has gotten into a backslidden condition, because it's backing away from the things of God, isn't it? And again, what happens is then this person begins to turn to what it knows, because carnality is now taking it over. It begins to turn to the things that bring comfort. That's why people go back to using drugs, drinking, smoking, and all those other things, because their heart is actually hardened. And it's now locking out the things of God in conviction and correction. And, you know, you can't say anything to that person without that person getting upset or offended. Hello. Why? Because its heart is hard. It's hard. It's stony heart now. And then what it does is it goes, divine order is not, that's the last thing on that person's mind. Forget divine order. The only order they want is me, myself, and I. And on this, we've got to be careful, because this is one of the ploys that the enemy is trying to establish. He's trying to bring the heart of an individual. Now, the heart of an individual is the character of his spirit. In other words, the heart will express the spirit, because if the spirit is contaminated, the heart will express it. Is everybody okay? All right. Let's go to Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel 11. Unlocking the heart. We're going to be talking about unlocking the heart tonight. In verse 17, Ezekiel 11, 17, would you read it with me? Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there, and they will take away all of its detestable things, and all its abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the what? Stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Why? Because the stony heart is a hardened heart, isn't it? It's a rebellious heart. And the heart of flesh is pliable, moldable. You know, you can move it. It's movable, you know. You can mold it to it. But a stony heart, man, you can't touch it, man. Now look at, I want to read 19 again. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Why? That they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and what? Do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire for their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord. Hello. So we see that a stony heart is locked. It is resenting. It resents things. It is a resistance to the things of God. In other words, you can't touch that thing because it's always too easily to be offended, too easily to shoot out. It will not take correction. It is too prideful. It is so pure hard that it thinks it knows everything. But it's actually locked out the things of God, and it's now locked and hardened. But again, a heart of flesh is pliable, it's submissive, it's moldable, and it can be worked with because it has been unlocked from self. So everybody got it? It's been unlocked from self. So there's an area where you and I must continue to keep in that arena of unlocking the heart. God, that's a ministry of unlocking the heart. That's what we've been called to. That's our commission of unlocking hearts. Why? So God can move. Why? So God can move. Amen? An unlocked heart will express the DNA character of Christ. A locked heart will express the DNA character of self, carnal and ungodly. Has everybody got it? So a locked heart will express carnality, and an unlocked heart will express Christ. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. And because of the area of divine order being out of order, it will always look for fulfillment before the things of God. And it's looking for fulfillment for the things of the world and not running for the fulfillment of the things of God. See, that will let you know that you're out of divine order. If everything that you're looking for is fulfillment from the world instead of fulfillment from God, you'll know you're out of divine order. It should be God first, right? God first. God first. In other words, His will first. His will. As you're doing His will, everything else falls into place. And Proverbs 27, let's start at, let's go to verse 19. As in water, face reflects face, so man's heart reveals what? A man. So you'll know where you're at by the expression of your heart. And out of the mouth speaks the heart. Hello. Grumble, complain, fear, and all these other things. You know whether a person's got a locked heart or an unlocked heart. You know whether that person's expressing Christ or expressing carnality. Why are we supposed to know those things? Because the Bible says, depart from evil. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. Why? In this period of time, you know, the Word says bad company corrupts good habits. You know, it's amazing on how many people will begin to hang around with certain people or listen to certain things or begin to watch certain programs or listen to certain music that begins to change their heart. Or even begin to listen to doctors too much. They begin to depend on the doctor instead of the Lord. Now, I'm not telling nobody not to go to a doctor. But you know, doctors are probably the number two killers in the world. The number one is the prescription drugs. It's amazing how people are looking for a pill for everything instead of the presence. Now, I'm not saying don't take medication, but don't live on it. So we see here, a heart reveals the man of the world or the man of God. Which DNA is being expressed through an individual? It will be determined whether their heart is locked or their heart is unlocked. Go to Malachi 4. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi 4, verse 1. Let's read it. For behold, the day is what? Coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And that day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Whoa. Whoa. And you shall trample the wicked. I guess you need to put on some weight and go out there and kick some butt. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, whom I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will do what? He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. What's he going to do? He's going to unlock their hearts, isn't he? So we see that it's going to be, you're going to see more and more of this begin to happen. More and more hearts are going to become unlocked in every area. You know, it was amazing to me because my daughter and I, who's my other daughter, who's older, 36 or 37, something like that. And for many years, her heart was locked towards me. But this word was being fulfilled. As you stay in position, God will unlock the hearts of your children. And I'm a walking witness of that. I've seen many hearts who people were just hardened and then become unlocked. And it wasn't anything that anybody did, because only the Lord can unlock an individual's heart. But the devil loves to lock it. So we see here that many hearts are going to turn. In other words, they'll be unlocked. And your commission and my commission is to unlocking the hearts of men. And it's done by example or spoken word. The word of God. In other words, Elijah would come as a prophet and speak to them, wouldn't he? He would prophesy to them. You know, today when I went to jail, and I didn't stay, obviously. Praise God. That's a good feeling, knowing you can leave now. Hallelujah. And, when I got there today, it was, there was so much demonic activity in there. It was incredible. I mean, I've seen this before, but not so many times. I mean, it was just so much demonic activity. And so, you know, usually I try and get everybody together. Come on, tighten up. Let's get going here or whatever. And I was just led just to not go there. And I said, okay. And there was about maybe 10 guys, 15 guys, but there was about 20 or 30 of them walking around. And they were supposed to be down in the class now. And I didn't say anything. And the Holy Spirit gave me a word to speak in the beginning a little bit. And then we did praise and worship. And he said, just do four songs. And we did four songs. And we turned around and prayed. And I began to teach on certain things about priesthood and about fulfilling priesthood and about what happens if you don't fulfill priesthood. And I could sense the Holy Spirit now begin to pierce. See, because the word had to be backed by the anointing. Does everybody understand that? If it's not backed by the anointing, it's just going to bounce. The enemy comes and steals it so quickly. And I began to sense now, because there was something else I was going to preach on, and he said, they're not ready for that. And I said, okay, what do you want to talk about? And he said, priesthood, because I want you to show them the tabernacle, the chambers, and show them the outer court, because that's where religion is. They can read the word, they can quote the scriptures, and even do the page numbers. But far be it that should go in the next chamber, which is the holy place, get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and become a priest unto the Lord, and fulfill their ministry as priesthood. So we began to talk about some of this stuff, and I began to see the Holy Spirit begin to pierce their hearts. But I'm telling you, man, it was rough in there at first. You know, if I had a Holy Ghost baseball bat, I usually use the bazooka, but I was just led to just step back. Don't get caught up. And afterwards, as I began to see the Spirit move, then I said, now who wants a Bible? Because there were people there who didn't want a Bible. They weren't paying attention. And then afterwards I said, now who wants a Bible? Man, I ran out of Bibles. But in that, I could only share with you that I began to see the Spirit of God unlocking hearts all over the place. I thought, wow, this is wild. I love when this happens. And just hearts begin to unlock. See, because the reality was, he brought the reality to them. He put the mirror in front of them and said, where are you at? And where are you going? And who are you serving? And if you say you know God, you better show it. You better prove that you know him. And I'm telling you, I had Spanish Bibles and English Bibles, and they were all gone. Because I began to watch the hearts being unlocked. And it was beautiful. I mean, it was just beautiful. Then afterwards, we prayed. I mean, the place, now everybody, the whole place, everybody was sitting down. Then I realized, man, this place, there was a lot of people there. You know? But it was afterwards. And then, of course, some people want to talk afterwards and whatever. And I was like, you know, I'm just, God bless you, I'll talk to you later. Because I wasn't led to do anything. I didn't want to interfere what God was doing. You know, we have a tendency to always want to talk, 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 talk. And then what happens is the devil uses you to steal what God just did. So we just prayed the blood on the seed, and I just see ya. And let God deal with them. But I'm telling you, I began to watch the Spirit of God unlock the hearts. Because he was revealing the person to the person. And it was beautiful. And I could sense now, because it was like fulfillment of things to where what we just read in Elijah. Because, you know, we're in the spirit of Elijah right now. There's a spirit of Elijah right now. There's a spirit of Joshua right now. There's a spirit of Joseph right now. It's all being fulfilled right now. And things are coming up quickly and moving rapidly in preparation for what's getting ready to happen. And something's getting ready to happen. It's getting ready to happen. If you don't think it's getting ready to happen, you're deceived. That's why God is preparing us. It's getting ready to happen big time. Go to Proverbs 15. That's why we need to be consistent, don't we? Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of a fool pours forth foolishness. 23, verse 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Yeah, 28, verse 28. Would you read it? The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. So you see, out of the mouth, out of the mouth will express the heart, won't it? Proverbs 12. While we're here. In verse 25, here's a kicker. Proverbs 12 and verse 25, would you read it? Anxiety, would you say that one more time, please? Anxiety, you know, anxiety is fear. It's anything that's associated with anxiousness is fear. Fear. Anxiety. Anxiety in the heart of man causes what? Depression. Anxiety in the heart of man causes what? Depression. But a good word makes it glad. The righteous should choose his friends. Why? Carefully. For the way of the wicked leads them astray. Hello. Go to 1 Samuel 10. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to speak softly every time. Do you understand that? I didn't see Jesus speak softly every time. You're going to be led by the Spirit, aren't you? 1 Samuel chapter 10. Unlocking the hearts. Is everybody there? Now, Saul was called to be a king because Israel rejected God from being king and they wanted a humanite. And the Lord warned him. He said, man, he's going to tax you. He's going to steal from you. You don't want a king, do you? Don't you? He said, don't you want me to be your king? And they said, no. So Samuel pleaded with the people, and the Lord said, give them what they want. So the Lord chose Saul to fulfill this position. But there was something that had to be done. Saul had to change because his heart was still locked. It needed to get unlocked so that the DNA character of Christ could flow through him. So in verse 4, he says, listen. Chapter 10 and verse 4, he says, and they will greet you and give you 2 loaves of bread. Wait a minute, let's start at verse 3, I'm sorry. Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabar. There are 3 men going up to God at Bethel will meet you carrying 3 young goats, another carrying 3 loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you 2 loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with string instruments, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them. And they will be prophesying. So we see here something very important because praise and worship, what they were doing for the prophets, they were wanting God's presence to come. So they would do praise and worship to remove, because that's a part of warfare. And as they were praising and worshiping, the powers of darkness were moving back because they can't stand the sound of hands clapping and praising and worshiping. And the powers of darkness would move back and the presence of God would come on the prophets and they would begin prophesying. Hello. So he said, now listen, I want you to go there and do that. And he said in verse 6, would you read it with me? Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with him and be turned into a what? Another man. Another man. What did he have to do? He had to sow. He had to sow. He had to get in the presence of God, but before the presence of God could come, they had to praise and worship and move away the powers of darkness. And verse 7. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God did what? Gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. In other words, God unlocked his heart. You understand that? God unlocked his heart. And Saul became another man. Unfortunately, his pride, after a period of time, began to lock his heart again, and God had to remove him with King David. Are you with me? So we see that unlock the old releases the DNA of the new. Y'all got it? Unlock the old releases the DNA of the new. That's why he who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things are becoming new. Why? Because the heart has been unlocked. But one of the things the enemy wants to do is lock your heart. Harden your heart so that you now lock out the things of God. And the only thing you're concerned about is the trinity of darkness. Me, myself, and I. Hallelujah. Acts 8. Acts chapter 8. And verse 9. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, in other words, their hearts were unlocked, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying out of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." See, you can't buy the anointing with money. You buy it with your life. But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God would be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." In other words, money was first. "Repent therefore of this, your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." I'd say his heart got locked. Then Simon answered, said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So you see, they went out preaching to do what? Unlock hearts, didn't they? Now, even Simon, the sorcerer that was amazed, even though he was amazed at what he saw, his heart was still locked. Do you understand that? Why? Because it was expressed about trying to buy it. Buy it. Instead of receive it. What a life price. Is everybody okay? So you can't buy it. You can't. And the only way it comes as by a surrendered life. In James chapter 3. You know, it's amazing in how God, he loves to unlock our hearts or keep it unlocked. He knows sometimes when a heart is about to get locked, discouragement will lock a heart. Oppression, heaviness, and so forth. Offense. These things will lock a heart. So God always is prepared to bring something to us to keep our heart unlocked. The whole thing is we can't get caught up in all of this stuff. We've got to kind of like wait on God, don't we? You know, it's amazing because when I was in the jail and I saw all these things happening afterwards, I was like, okay, and I just shake the dust off and go. And as I was driving home, hallelujah, I was talking to my wife on the cell phone, and I'm at the red light. And I looked behind me, and the city workers were there. And so the light was getting ready to change, and I was getting ready to take off, and all of a sudden my car went, poof. I went, no. And I'm at an intersection at a red light. I'm going, no. Oh, Lord, what? And I ran out of gas. Now, my gas gauge doesn't work, so I kind of calculate, and my meter doesn't work either, so I can't tell how many miles I've gone. So I try to listen. Obviously, I didn't listen. I was talking on the phone. So I'm at this red light, and I'm like, okay, hallelujah. And so these guys are like looking at me, well, what are you doing, man? So I went, I ran out of gas. And they knew me because they work in the city. So they turned their blinkers on, and we got out of the car, and I was like, well, let's just push it across. You know, this was on the main busy road. I said, man, let's just push it across. I mean, I knew God would protect us. And they were like, no. So this guy gets on his cell phone and he calls the city police. He says, we're going to do this right so that no one gets hurt. I'm like, Lord. And he said, guy, you know, nicely, shut up. Let me take care of this. So, next thing I know, the chief fire guy comes over and he says, well, you know, I can get you guys across and I can make sure that the light stays green all the way till you get across. And the guy was like, well, I think we ought to do this the proper way. I'm like, come on. I'm stepping back. I'm going, okay, Lord, you know me. I would have been across already. But I'm just going to, and so the next thing I know, two police cars show up with the chief fireman and two city employees and me. So the one officer drives over and stops all traffic on the right. The other one stops all traffic on the left. And the chief fire guy, he's got the green, man. And so we pushed my vehicle. Now, there was a gas station right across the street, right at the corner. So we pushed the vehicle across. And now they said, get in the car. I was like, you want me to get in and drive? Yeah, go ahead. We'll push you. I said, okay. So I got in. I'm thinking, Lord, this is, thank you so much. Look at this. I got protection on the right, protection on the left. I don't even need gas, you know? So I opened my sliding window. I asked them if they could go into overdrive. Just playing with them. So we come around and I turn, getting ready to turn into the driveway of the gas station, and there was a barricade there. And I'm thinking, and so I said, look, there's a barricade. So one of them hopped off and went over there and moved the barricade. So we pulled into the barricade, went through the barricade and went down. Thank God it was downhill, and slid right up next to the gas pump. Whew. And then I put the barricade back and I just said, God bless you. thank you. And I was just thanking the Lord. I put the charge card in, pumped it out, started putting gas in. It was filling it up. And I'm looking around going, man, there ain't nobody here. There's nobody getting gas. And I began to look around. I'm thinking, oh, my God, that driveway is barricaded too. That one is too. That one is too. And I'm looking around going, I'm the only person here. And this guy comes out of the BP and he says, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting gas. He says, you can't get gas. Well, I just got $50 worth. But it's not working. Everything is turned off. How did you get gas? Favor. And that's all I could say to him. Favor. And he just looked at me and he goes, you know we're closed. Favor. And I just said, man, this is wild, Lord. This is wild. You're really revealing yourself in the simplest, awesome way. So I got in my truck and I started it up and I'm thinking, oh man, now I gotta stop and I gotta get out and move the barricades, get back in my, so I got close to the barricade, all of a sudden this guy shows up, gets out of his car, and moves the barricade for me. And I drove away and I said, thank you. And he said, you're welcome. And I was like, whoa. Let me comprehend what just happened here. Let's see. No gas. You know, God was just revealing himself to me. You know? And he just wanted to encourage me to let me know that he's there. And he loves me unconditionally, even the dumbest things that I do. That he was there loving me. And I was just... man, it's great. Thank you so much, Lord, for encouraging me. And I'm telling you, my heart was joyful. I mean, I was just like, whoa. It just overwhelmed me. And he loves to do that. If we'll just give him the opportunity. So many times we try to go out and fix things ourselves. He made me wait. I had no choice. I was under the law. Had eyewitnesses if I did anything else. They could have testified against me. I mean, I just wanted to get across the street and get home. But he made way. And he just showed me, look, I protected you. And then pushed you there and made way for you and opened and turned on that gas pump and then allowed you to get out. I'm thinking, whoa. But it encouraged me. Increase my faith. But it happened because I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything. There wasn't anything I could do. I had to wait. And in waiting, he set it all up and made the way. He made the way. And that's what he wants to do with us. Because, see, he knows when we're in an area of discouragement. He knows when we're in an area where the enemy's trying to lock our heart up. He know, and he always wants to keep our hearts unlocked. He knows when we're starting to get in an area of frustration. He knows when we're getting ready to get in an area of anxiousness. He knows when you're getting ready to kill somebody. He knows when you've got to that point where, I can't take it anymore. He knows. See, but the whole thing is we have a tendency always to try to go, fix myself. And it really doesn't fix yourself. It just makes you worse. But when he does it, man, there's freedom. There's healing. There's encouragement. And there's purpose. It gives you another nugget to hold on to while you're going through the same old stuff. So you can get to the next nugget. But it doesn't happen unless you let him. Go to James 3. In verse 13, would you read it with me? Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. So if it is there in that arena, is the heart locked? Yes. These are things that lock your heart. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Do you know that there's a locked heart? But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we see that envy and strife and is it wisdom, demonic wisdom, is the DNA of self. And what it does is it locks the heart. And when it locks the heart, it locks out the things of God. In John 12, John chapter 12. So we have the ministry of unlocking the heart. But one of the things we must do is make sure our heart's constantly unlocked. John chapter 12 and verse 37. Would you read it with me, please? But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. I'm sharing with you that when your heart is locked and it is hardened, you cannot see. You cannot see. You cannot see spiritually. You cannot discern. And the enemy is all around. You are blinded when the heart is locked or hardened. It says, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should what? Heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of them. So again, please understand that in this, the blindness is because of a hardened heart. It is locked. When an individual's heart is locked, they can't see farther. They can't see in the future. They are only associated with self. They can only see feet 1 foot long, even though they have two. They can only see so far. There's a distance of sight that is gone. They can only see in their inner circle, which has to do with self. In James 5. You know, and one of the things is that the Bible says, in a multitude of counsel, there's safety and wisdom. And in that, when somebody is struggling with something, if their heart is locked, they fear getting counsel because of the area of pride, because the heart is so locked. They don't want anybody to know they have a locked heart. And they don't even know that. Now, I get calls from people during the day asking for counsel or input or something to that degree. And it's an honor and a blessing, because I can see the humbleness of the person then. Does everybody understand that? I see, pride will prevent you from humbling self to get counsel. But humbling, when you humble yourself, what you're doing is you're causing your heart to unlock. If you're protecting yourself, you're causing your heart to lock. Does everybody get this? Now, I'm not asking everyone to call me tomorrow, okay? But the Bible says, confess your sins to one another. And by doing that, or even by asking a brother or sister an opinion or an input on something, you're humbling yourself. You're not trying to do it all on your own. And the Lord says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. See, it's when people run into circumstances or trouble where the heart gets locked that they want to protect it and they think that it's going to pass by. It never passes by. I want to share this one more time. It never passes by. It must be dealt with. It never goes away until it's dealt with. Never. You can justify it. You can paint over the picture. You can put it under the rug, stuff it under your bed, and even try and give it to somebody else. But it can never go away until it is dealt with. It will always torment and hound you. Does everybody get it? It will never go away until it is exposed and removed and healed. Why? Because what's happening now, it's locked out the things of God, and it's only producing the DNA of carnality, isn't it? But if the individual would humble themselves, if the individual would be honest with self, if the individual would be not so concerned about self and look at others and what damage not only they're doing to themselves but to others by having a locked heart, which is nothing but stinky selfishness because it's associated with the DNA of self, God would unlock that heart. See, healing comes with an unlocked heart. No healing can come on a locked heart. It comes when the heart is unlocked. Does everybody understand that? See, because the end result of a locked heart is destruction. Because a locked heart always sows in the flesh. It does not sow in the spirit. It sows in the flesh. Now, it may have a form of sowing in the spirit, but it's not because its heart isn't there. Does everybody got it? It's stuck in the outer court. Its heart's not there. It's not the heart of Christ. It's the heart of stone. And there's a difference. Is everybody all right? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Go to James 5. Did we go there yet? Oh. James 5. And verse 5. Would you read it with me? You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. That's called a hardened or locked heart. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. Remember we talked about the rain coming. We're in it. You also be patient. Establish your heart. Say, establish my heart. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not what? Grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. So he's saying establish your heart. In other words, make sure that it stays unlocked. Don't let it be moved in any other way. In Proverbs 14. So you know that the grumbling and complaining and anxiety and all of these other things is a locked heart. Proverbs 14, please. Unlocking the heart. In verse 29. You know, if you think about a lot of things that are happening in the world with a lot of disasters, I mean, you've got, you know, we just had the strongest earthquake ever known to mankind. Ever known to mankind. This year. What, last month? Last few weeks? It's the largest, strongest earthquake ever known to mankind. It happened on our watch. Why? And more, and there shall be earthquakes in that period of time. We're in that time right now. Things are definitely happening. But one of the things that's happening, many people are unlocking their heart because of the disasters. Amen. They're unlocking their hearts towards God in fear of death. And many people are locking their hearts in anger towards God. And it's happening right now. In Proverbs 14, verse 29, would you read it with me? He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. A sound heart, say sound heart, is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. So an individual that can become bitter, that can become unforgiving, resentful, actually releases chemicals in their body, and their body begins to eat themselves. These chemicals begin to eat the body. And the person's immune system begins to go down, and so forth, and the person is in a perish mode. It's perishing. In Hebrews 4, that's why the Bible says, a joyful heart is good medicine. Why? Because that heart is unlocked. Hebrews 4:11. A sound heart is life. Would you all read this with me, please? Hebrews 11. Let us therefore be what? Diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now I want you to get something important, because he's now referring to the word of God, which is a two-edged sword, as a person. So everybody got it? As a person. Why? Because who is the Word of God? The Word is a person. It's not just, you know, we have this carnal comprehension that it's just words. No, that is associated with a person. And when you speak the Word, that person is piercing and doing everything. Why? Because the Word was created. Everything in the earth, everything is created by the what? The Word. But everything was created in Him and through Him. Right? So He is the Word. It's not just written words. Does everybody understand that? He is the Word. And the Word expresses that He is as a person. So what happens is what unlocks the heart is the Word, but it's the person that unlocks the heart, who his name is Christ. He unlocks the heart. No man can come to the Father except for through who? The Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. Now that doesn't sound like a soft-spoken word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Convince. Rebuke. Exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires or their locked heart, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Somebody that will agree with their hardened heart. and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful, in all things endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, and fulfill your ministry. 1 Peter 3. And I guess we'll start at 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But what? But what? But I didn't hear you. Sanctify the Lord in your where? Hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than doing evil. And I'm going to close at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. In verse 12, would you read it with me, please? Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. In other words, the peace of God is his DNA. Let the word of Christ dwell in you what? Richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And keep your heart unlocked. Keep your heart unlocked. And no matter what you're doing, I didn't say you wouldn't get frustrated sometimes or whatever, but never allow your heart to get locked. Never hold anything towards anyone, even though they're idiots sometimes. It doesn't matter. That shouldn't have to keep your heart locked. Keep that heart unlocked and let the DNA of Christ express himself through you. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We apply the blood of Christ upon the seed. Allow it to grow and bear fruit for your glory. And grant us the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and discernment so that we may discern the character of our own heart and keep it unlocked for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.